How many times have you ordered your burger without the raw onions in it and they still put it in there? Yeah. I know you know what I'm talking about when you go to Whataburger. That's why I don't go to Whataburger, because they always put those onions in love. And then you get so mad when it's there. But you know that when you go through a drive-thru, they're just rushing you through because they got somebody else they got to deal with. And something's going to get messed up when things are rushed. Oh. Something's about to get messed up when things get rushed. Look. I used to work for American Airlines, and I didn't like being on the phones. You know, you got this thing connected to your ear, and you got to talk to people all day long. As soon as you hang up with one, you don't even have a chance to breathe. The next call's in. So I got caught making a comment one time. I wasn't saved. I was not saved. Made a comment one time, and the next caller heard the comment. I didn't know they were on the line. The phone don't ring. It just comes in. See, if you're not prepared for what is coming, sometimes the one that is coming to bless you hears a word out of your mouth that wasn't what was edifying or speaking life, but it was cursing and it was death. I said, I'm so sorry. That wasn't meant for you. So you're going to speak to your supervisor. No, I said I was sorry. You know how we, you know, I'm sorry. No, I didn't talk to your supervisor. No, I'm sorry. Let me get you a discount. I couldn't give no discounts. It's sad. What kind of discount? You going to bump me up to first class? I can't do that. Well, what kind of discount? Well, really, I can't. So now you're lying to me? Let me talk to your supervisor. But I'll try to go. Wait. You know, I'm trying. You see, we try to backstep some of the mistakes we make in life because it's already come out your mouth. Have you ever said something to someone that you wish you didn't say? Yeah, I know it. I know, because we say a lot of things we shouldn't say. Mm-hmm. Ooh, if I could just take that back. If I could just take that one word back. If I could take that whole sentence, paragraph, hours worth of complaining back, I would. So I sent it over to the supervisor. The supervisor said, how long have you been on the phones? So I tried this whole, I'm new. Pulls up my profile. No, you're not. You've been here over a year. Well, I just started understanding a little bit more about the job. So you start making excuses why you're not doing or performing the way you're supposed to perform. Supervisor said this to me. She said, you need to be off the phones. I said, oh, that all it took? I didn't want to be on the phones. That's all it took? He goes, no, I think I'm going to take you to human resources so we can go ahead and start writing your release papers. Oh, wait, no. I need this job. You don't understand. I got a baby girl, and I need this job. Don't fire me. Wait a minute. When I was on the phone talking to somebody about something, and I was real big and bad because I was secure with where I was at, but I wasn't secure about what was coming. So he says, well, how about this? How about I sit down and show you some things on how to deal with customers? Okay. He spent the next 6 months working with me and showing me how to deal with customers to get them on the phone, off the phone, get them what they want so I could be quicker and my stats would go up. 6 months he spent time with me, and after the 6 months I got promoted to one of his positions as a supervisor. If I had done it with the attitude that I had before and stepped into my promotion without being dealt with, I would have stepped into my promotion and no one would have taken the time to teach me the right things. I want you to hear this. Because you step into a place of promotion doesn't always mean that you're ready. It means that you've been prepared up to that point. See, when I went through some things after I got saved, the Lord started showing me some things about my character. Hello? Has he shown you a little bit about your character? No, not that you are a character, but about your character. So he shows you a little bit. Does he completely deliver you then? No. No, we still got some issues to work out. But he's doing it so that he can get you ready for your promotion into your land, into your place, into your inheritance, into what he's already promised you to receive. But when God says something, he doesn't mean that it's going to happen right then. I mean, it's going to be a process. Jesus was sent into this world for what? To redeem us of our sins, and that we'd have life for life abundantly. It didn't happen when he came to earth. It happened when he lived on earth. Then when he died, it became manifest 33 and a half years later. So if we want things to happen fast, let me tell you, it ain't a microwave kind of generation in the kingdom of God. It's going to be a process. How many of you have been waiting for a while? You've been waiting. Something good is about to happen for you today. Amen. Get your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1. When you're there, say amen. We got one. Acts chapter 1. Are we ready? Acts chapter 1, go to verse 4. I'm going to read out of the King James Version. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. And being assembled together with them, who was with them? Jesus. Commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Now he is speaking to him, saying, do not leave this place, but wait for what I have already promised you. Now, I understand this particular scripture that is saying to wait for the promise. We all understand that it's the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit is sent to them in the upper room. They were all there. Now go over to Acts chapter 2, verse 2. I'm going to read it out of the American Standard Version. Acts 2, verse 2. All right. On Acts 2, verse 2, it says this, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of the rushing of mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. Now, Father, I just thank you right now that you prepared their hearts to receive, prepare their hearts to cultivate this word, that it will produce its fruit in its season. And Father, I thank you right now that someone here today is about to experience their deliverance and their healing. Someone is about to experience everything that you've already stated for them to receive because they've been waiting for a while. So I thank you for it now. In Jesus' mighty name, and all of God's children said amen. The promise has come from Jesus to go into Jerusalem and to wait. They go to the upper room, and as they're in the upper room with many of the disciples and others that have followed them, the Bible says here in Acts chapter 2, they were sitting. Now, if I was to tell you, Eric, I want you to go. I'm going to send a gift to you. I want you to go stand in that corner, and it's coming. Go stand in that corner, sir. No, sir. Not your nose to the wall. But all you got to do is just stand right there. Now, listen. Now, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the Lord tells you to go someplace and wait for what the promise is. You go expecting to receive what the Lord has told you to go for, right? Now, over the course of time, you don't see what he promised you. You wind up waiting to the point that you take a seat. Go ahead and sit on that thing. Because you get tired of waiting. How many of you have been expecting God to do something, but in the process of waiting, you've gotten tired? In the process of waiting what he's already promised you out of the mouth of God, you get so tired that you wind up taking a seat and just waiting for your promise to just show up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That you can be in the actual timing of God, in the place that he told you to be. And he says, go and wait for what I will send you, my comfort. I will send you my spirit. But you're waiting for that gift and it hasn't come. They were all sitting down. You see, when you get to that place in God where the timing here on earth meets the timing of God, something begins to move. Something begins to transpire in your waiting room experience. Not everybody can be inside for the delivery. You've been carrying what has been impregnated inside of you, but not everybody can go inside. Some have to wait in the waiting room. Wait for a sound. Nowadays, when you go into the hospitals, almost everybody can show up in the delivery room. I was like, Lord, no. They didn't carry this thing. They weren't the ones going through all the kind of gripes and all the requests. Late night kind of snacks and weird requests. Only me and my wife went through that. Why are they in the room? They weren't carrying this baby. Why are they in the room? See, there's some things that God says, I need you to wait, but you're going to wait with some other people. Because what I have given you, I've also given them. I'm going to get you to the point where you're sitting down and wait. Thank you, sir. You can sit down. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, sir. That you're waiting so long for the promise that others show up waiting just like you. Have you ever witnessed some people that happen to just show up in your life when you're going through the same thing that they're going through? So wait a minute, mine is different. You don't understand. If truth be told, you don't understand. But tell me, I don't understand. You don't understand my problem. My problem bigger than yours. My problem is like 15 times stronger than bigger than yours. Like we start trying to figure out whose is bigger, whose is worse. But you're in the same position in the waiting to receive what God has already promised you. So he tells them, go and wait in that upper room. You're going to be in the delivery room, but I ain't going to tell you when it's going to happen. It's just going to happen when I say that it happens in the spirit. But you'll know something's about to happen because you're going to hear something. And when you hear it, you're not going to know where it came from. You're just going to know that it showed up. I want you to see this here. It says there was a sound as of rushing of a mighty wind. How many of you have been winded? Because you're waiting. I'm winded because I've been waiting for a long time. I'm winded. I get to the point I can't continue on, God. I've been standing on the word. I've been standing on the promise. I've been standing on the prophetic word. But now I'm so tired of standing. I'm just going to sit. Either you're going to do it or you're not. Either you're going to release it or you're not. Don't even know what to believe no more. Don't even know if what I'm doing even makes a difference. Don't even know if everything that I'm doing and sacrificing, is it affecting people's lives? Is it affecting mine? I don't even know. God, I'm not standing. No, I can't. I'm tired. You told me to come and I came. You told me to wait. I'm waiting. We started with a lot more in this room, but a whole bunch of them left. A whole bunch of them left. It's not the same number that originally started with anticipation and waiting for expectancy of what God was going to do because of the promise that many of them left. Here we are, just a few of us now that are leftovers. We're the leftovers. He says, no, you're my remnant. That's all I need. That's all I need is the one that can wait even to the very end. Because when I pour out something on you, you're about to carry it not for you, but for others. We're in the waiting room expecting. And he says, Delphina, get to that place and wait. Because what I have spoken to you is going to come. But in the waiting process, it's hard. Carla, what I've spoken to you, it's going to happen, but you got to get someplace, sit down and wait. It's going to get too difficult. You're not going to believe it's going to happen. I've spoken something to you. I just didn't say when it was going to happen. But it is going to happen. And in that waiting period, things begin to feel like they're being stripped from you, taken from you. You can't even experience really the joy of what you're going through with expectancy because you're expecting something to come, but you don't see it come. And then your emotions begin to change. And now you begin to run on emotions as opposed to running on faith. It says, wait. Wait. Wait, Rose. Just wait. Even when you get tired, just wait. You don't understand. I spent everything that I have. I've given all that I can. I can't even do for myself anymore. Same with the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. She spent all that she had. She did everything that she could, but she couldn't change the circumstance that she had to press through the press. She had to get past everybody else. But deep down inside, she says, I can't even do this on my own unless I just touch the very hem of his garment. I'll be made whole. Faith says to you, even in the waiting, even when you exasperated all that you have, your faith begins to diminish. Everything that you've been going through has been preparing you, getting you ready to push out what is rightfully yours. See, when he spoke about what he was going to send them, it was something that came upon them, but later was something that was inside of them. I want you to hear this. If I speak a word through the prophetic and release it over your life, it comes on you. It doesn't become a part of you unless you start going through some issues in your life. That it breaks open that ground. And when it breaks open that ground, now the word begins to come in. How many of you feel broken? Gone through some stuff. I know, Clint. Been through some things. Tired of going through. Tired of it just hitting me and hitting me. But it's in that brokenness, sir, that opens you up for his goodness. For his goodness. But I'm waiting. I've done everything. Now the word becomes not just on you like tongues of fire. It becomes you. It becomes one with you, and you're one with him. The Holy Spirit now is the one that is leading you. Jesus himself, when the Holy Spirit came upon him after coming out of the Jordan River, the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. But it wasn't until he was driven by that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness, drove there, that he was broken during that testing time of that fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. There was a waiting period before he would come out of the wilderness experience to enter into his ministry and begin to do demonstration of signs, wonders, miracles, and his love. Do you understand? In that waiting time, there's purpose for it. There's purpose for your waiting. How many of you know there's purpose? Look at your neighbor and say, there's purpose for our waiting. Turn with me to Exodus 3, please. Exodus 3, verses 1 through 10. Exodus 3, verses 1 through 10 out of the American Standard Bible. Watch this. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. Let me prophesy to you right now that the fire that is in your life right now is not there to consume you. It's there to speak to you. Your fire and your trials that you're going through, like the three Hebrew boys, they wasn't there to consume there. It was there to speak to them. Do you understand what I'm saying? That anything that is burning deep is not there to consume you. It's there to speak. Verse 3. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see the marvelous sight why the bush is not burnt up. See, I believe that in verse 3, there was a shift that took place where Moses was able to step aside and see from a different perspective. How many of us need to see our situation from a different perspective? We need to see it different. It can't be the same all the time. I can't look upon it the same way and get a different outcome. Sometimes I have to shift my position to see what God has for me. I have to make that move. I have to shift to see, why is it not being consumed? Now watch this. Verse 4. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush. You see that? Once he looked to see his circumstance different, now the Lord speaks. God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. You know when God calls your name twice, you better pay attention. Just trying to tell you. Nancy. Nancy. Gonna get your attention, right? Okay, I'm Mary Lou. Mary Lou. Get your attention, right? So there's a difference. The first time, plus I didn't hear. The second time, yes, Lord, I'm here. Get your attention. So anytime you read in scripture and he calls the names twice, he said, you better pay attention because what I'm about to tell you, it's for your good. It's for your good. Now watch this. Moses said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said also, I am the God of your father. I'm going to establish who I am in your lineage. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm going to establish that I am the God of your sacrifice. And then I'm also going to establish I'm the God of Jacob. I'm the God of the one that's a mess up. The deceiver. I'm the God of the supplanter. He addressed every nature about Moses in that statement. He says, then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Verse 7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. Verse 7 says that I've heard the cries of his people because of the issues that have come upon them from Egypt, their taskmasters. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good, spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivite, and the Jebusites. Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, now come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, I want you to picture this. God is speaking to you, telling you, I'm about to deliver you and the people that have been crying out for deliverance, crying out because of their afflictions, crying out because of the sickness, crying out because of all the financial difficulties, crying out because the marital issues, crying out because their kids are just driving them crazy, just driving them crazy. Everything. He says, I've heard their cries. Now, Inez, I'm going to use you to take them out of their afflictions and to have them cross over to a land that Moses already knew of but had never experienced. See, Canaan to Moses was an understanding that was across a valley, across a river that was flowing with milk and honey. God spoke something that he understood. He understood that on the other side of his desert was a promise that he would never experience the desert anymore. So when he spoke that to them, there was an expectancy that came to Moses saying, that's what I've been waiting for. I've been waiting to get out of this desert experience and to get into a land that is flourishing. Now, Inez, I'm going to use you to go to Pharaoh and go tell Pharaoh, let all the people go. Would you be expecting God to do something? He said he's going to do it. What chapter are we on? We're in Exodus 3. So now in Exodus 4, did they get delivered? No? Exodus 5? Did they get delivered? No? When did they get delivered? It's not until chapter 14 that the people of Israel got delivered out of the Egyptians' hands, out of Egypt and into their promised land. Did they get into their promised land? Oh, wait a minute. So he delivered them, but he didn't put them in right away. Oh, hear this. Have you been delivered of the penalty of sin? Some of you are like, can you reword that? Because sometimes you ask questions. I know they're tricky. I'm trying to follow you. Have you been delivered from the penalty of sin, which is death? Yes. But have you been delivered into your promise yet? Well, I'm talking to the right church. Now listen, he speaks something now to Moses and says, I'm going to get you out. I'm going to take all these people with you. Can you imagine Moses saying, okay, I'm going to paraphrase this whole scripture for you, this whole story. I know you watched it on the little videos from VeggieTales and all that stuff about Moses. And you watched was that Russell Crowe that did it? And stuff. I know you watched it, but listen here. I'm going to tell you something a little bit different. Moses went to the people and said, look at here. We're about to leave this place right now. Look at here. We're going to leave. We're leaving. God said so. God's done. We're gone. We're done. I just had a face-to-face with God. We had one-on-one. You weren't there. I was there. You weren't. I know you weren't there with me because it was just me and him. Now, you know the next question that's going to come out of Joshua's mouth, not Joshua that followed him, but someone that was watching Moses from afar. How'd you talk to God? From a bush? You've been out in the sun a little bit too long. From a bush. How many times has someone laughed at you because you're holding on to a word that God spoke to you? You're going to be a millionaire. I mean, you can't even be a millionaire. Wearing the same shoes, same clothes all the time. A millionaire. Ain't got no job. And no bank account. Are you following me? How many times has the Lord spoken something to you and people criticize you for what the Lord spoke? Definitely if he has prophesied to you through a human being. Oh, because they don't want to believe that the prophetic is still necessary in this end time. It died with the disciples back then. We don't need prophecy no more. We don't need gift of healing no more. We don't need none of that. For real? Why are you praying for healing for your headache then? If you don't believe, let me get off of that because I felt something. Look. Every time that the Lord speaks, I don't want to just get there and I'm just trying. If he doesn't speak by way of a message, and he doesn't speak by way of a song, do you not know that he'll bring a donkey right in the middle of your life to speak to you concerning where you're at, where you're going, and what you need to do? If he can speak through the donkey, I want to say the other, but I'm going to contain myself. But if he can speak to you through an animal to tell you what is going on, he can speak through anything, especially this one. I know in my knower, my spirit man, that God is saying, you've been waiting long enough. You have been desiring my truth to come to pass in your life. I know in my knower, not in my mind, but in my knower, my spirit says, I know the timing of God is for you to be set free and delivered and healed. Because he's promised it and we've been waiting long enough. When he says it's time, it's time. There's nothing that anybody can do to keep you from your promise but you. Mm. So here we go. Now Moses goes and talking to people and they're laughing at him. What do you mean God spoke to you through a bush? Are you crazy? You're the one that murdered that other Egyptian and we got to listen to a murderer? You went running into the wilderness. You went out there playing with all those sheep and stuff. And then you got married out there, had kids out there. Now you're going to come back and say that God's going to deliver us? Think about it. You're not, when you read scripture, you're just skimming through it. Because if truth be told, if someone was to come and tell you that the Lord said he's going to do something good for you, but the people that you're telling what God is saying is going to happen for them are looking at you, you haven't been with us. You've been gone for a while. You don't know what we've been going through. You don't understand what the taskmaster has put us through. You went on with your life someplace else. Are you hearing me? The Egyptians didn't see what Moses was doing, what he was up to, but they knew he wasn't the same Moses that left them from the beginning. You were in Egypt and you were the taskmaster over us. Now you go and run and have an epiphany through a bush. A bush is going to make a difference and I got to listen to you. Oh, I don't think so. Well, let's keep it real. How many of you, when you got saved and your family members didn't? How many times they make fun? You going to church again? What do you mean outreach? You're going to outreach where? What do you mean outreach? Oh, you don't feed all those people over there? Can't even feed yourself. Look at that. You don't even have peanut butter and jelly sandwich all the time. You should take some of that food for yourself because that church ain't helping you. Look at you. Every time you go to church, you have to take your checkbook with you. You don't even have money in there. It keeps on bouncing. I get all your... See, when struggle real, huh? It's real. They're watching. They look at you. You keep going to church. Ain't nothing changing. That's something, isn't it? When they look at you and say, you ain't changing. What's that church doing for you? What's that church doing for you? That Mexican over there yelling all the time. Taking you into a gym. Ain't no church in a gym. Going to the gym. Y'all just shooting free throws or something. You don't think I hear? I hear it. I hear it. I said, Lord, you got to do something. Then those people in Egypt looked at Moses and said, okay, bring us out. I'm telling you, if I write a Bible, it's going to be one of those people everybody read. I said, Moses talked like that? He sure enough did. Moses went up and said, look, I'm old now. I didn't want this job. Matter of fact, when I talked to God, he told me to go and do this. I said, God already answered and said, don't worry, you can use your brother Aaron. Oh, thank you, Lord. Stuttering went away for a minute. See, he's not looking for you to be perfect. He's just looking for you. Will you look at your situation differently so that you can hear more clearly what God wants you to get? Then when you start to look at a different situation differently, then he begins to tell you, now I'm going to show you something, that your deliverance that I'm doing with you right now isn't just for you. It's for a group of people that you're going to help bring through their deliverance. So now he goes in. If God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen, right? We were in chapter 2 or chapter 3, what, Exodus 3. So here we go now, chapters later, and it still hasn't happened. Matter of fact, I believe Moses is so winded because he has to keep going back to talk to God. I think he's like me. Come here. No, over here. Where we first met. Okay, I'll go over there. And then says, look, I went to the people and I told them what you told me to tell them. And all they did was mock me and mock you. Who do I tell Pharaoh that is going to deliver us? What do I tell Pharaoh? This is what he says to God in my vernacular. Look, man, I don't even believe what I'm saying right now. I don't even believe what I'm doing right now. I don't even know if this, I may be going crazy. But you're telling me these people, you know, I used to be with Pharaoh. I used to have a little something back in the day. Now I ain't nothing. You want me to go in there and go tell them what? Who's going to do this? Look what God says. Tell them I am. You are what? What do you mean I am? How many of you question God when he responds to you like that? It's proof that God speaks that way. Jesus did it to the disciples. Every time he gave a parable, they looked at him like, what? I'm asking you a question. You're giving me a story. So he says, tell them I am. I am that I am. Okay, Popeye, I am that I am, Popeye. Listen, I'm going to go to Pharaoh and tell him I am said. You know how that's going to make me look? You know why we don't get what we're supposed to get? Because we're more worried about how we look to others. Right. Amen. Oh, I'm not going to praise like I should be praising God because people are going to look at me. You think they come to see you? Pastor, you were talking just about me, weren't you? I know you were talking about my situation. You're talking, you know, that's narcissism. You're thinking everybody's talking about you. Everybody's looking at you. You're so caught up about you. You're not getting what's supposed to be right for you. Amen. There's other people in the room. Could be talking about them. Be talking about Sister Katrina. Be talking about Sister Sheree over here. And you think, no, they were talking about me. I know they were talking about me. I know Pastor knows all my situations. So he's telling all my business out there. Never even mentioned your name, but you think I'm talking about you. That's called conviction. Oh, yeah. She says, tell him I am. Mira como I am. Pharaoh, I am. I bet you Pharaoh looking at him, you're what? I am. Rebecca, I am. Rebecca looking at me like, yeah. And finish your statement. You are what? Well, I am says. I am says. Where'd you go and learn to speak? I am said. I am said, let my people go. Pharaoh probably looking back like y'all looking at me right now. I am said. Think about Pharaoh. This man crazy. You've been playing with those sheep a little bit too long. Listening to him, I am. And what happens? A plague comes. He hardens his heart, right? But didn't God tell Moses, I'm going through you, deliver my people out of their bondage? But it hadn't happened yet. But he makes him keep going back to the one that is putting all this kind of task on his people. Well, you better hear this. What you're going through right now is so that you can go to the very strong man that you're dealing with to have him let not just you go, but everybody else go that has to deal with it. Oh, should I break it down for you? Have you been going through some sort of issue with cancer? Then you're going to go right up to cancer and say, no more. Not, you're not going to just let me go. You're going to let other people go. You've been dealing with some marital issues. You're going to go right up to that thing. No more. You're going to let my marriage be well and other people well. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He says, I'm going to deliver you and tell them I am. Who is I am? I am whoever you need me to be in whatever circumstance there is. I am right there. And if Pharaoh don't understand, I'm going to show him who I am. And we wait and we wait. Nothing happens. Moses gets to the point. When are you going to do something? Tired of waiting, God. Tired. Been going through all this whole time. People making fun of me, laughing at me. Telling me, but you said, I got to deal with all these bugs. I got to deal with all this blood. I got to deal with these frogs. I got to deal with all this kind of stuff. And now darkness is coming. Now the angel of death is coming. I'm in this land too. Woo. He said, I didn't say it was going to come to you. If you're covered by the blood, it'll pass over you. And if you're not in the house where the blood is, it's going to come right to you. You better tell people in your family that do not know who I am to get in the house. And when they get into the house, tell them to quit acting silly. Shut up and sit down. Oh, did I just go off on a tangent a little bit? Wish I had the drums in here right now. We're just going to town. Because I'm telling you what's about to take place. The people that don't believe what is going on in your life, you can just tell them, hey, hey, hey. You don't know. You don't know. And what you don't know. You don't know. You don't know. And what you don't know is a lot. But let me tell you something. It may seem a little strange I had to kill something to put the blood of the thing that I killed over the doorpost of my house. Unless you deal with the issue in your life and put that thing in the grave, God's going to say, I'm still coming for judgment. Unless you deal with that thing. Deal with it. And if people don't want to deal with it, but you dealt with it, just because you're connected to me and they're connected to you, as long as they get into that house. They can act silly and crazy and look at you. You in a gym and there ain't no God in the gym. Say, come on and experience this time in the gym. I tell you what, you may feel like you're running around the gym getting fouled by the opponent, but he will put you at the free throw line with no opposition. And he'll say, this shot is for you because I'm always working overtime for you. It don't matter what you're going through. Get in the house. Get in the house. Where the blood is applied. Woo! Some of y'all should be pleading that blood. Back in the day, I looked at mama. Mama said, I plead the blood. I don't, what do you mean plead? I don't plead. Plead what? The blood. I didn't understand it. She just looked at me. I know you want to go out and go have fun with your friends, but I plead the blood of Jesus over you. That no harm will come to you and you will come back in one piece. See, we need people to start pleading the blood. When you plead the blood, things change. When you plead the blood, people get saved. When you apply the blood, that's a whole different story when you apply it yourself. You don't have to look for someone to touch you. I plead the blood of Jesus over my life. I declare that this house is cleansed. I declare that this house has been set free. That when the angel of death comes, it will pass over my house. And only thing that resides in here is the kingdom of life. Woo! Have we been waiting? Have we been anticipating? Are we in expectancy? If we're in expectancy, get ready. Because what is about to come is about to come right over you. And it's going to come like the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Why the wind? Because out of the mouth of God, the breath speaks. It is the ruach of God. It is now the confirming power of his grace that brings life to you. Whatever the dead situation is in your life, he speaks to it and he breathes on it because I'm winded. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm winded. I'm winded. I was winded when I was waiting. And when I got so tired, now I need to get mouth to mouth. I need to be resuscitated. I need to have God come down to look down upon me and said, it don't matter if you're winded. It is my breath that I commit unto you. And I will make change into your circumstances. things are going to change because I'm winded. I've been waiting. I was sitting. I was waiting. Now we go 13 chapters later. Or 12, whatever. 13, 12, whatever. Then he says this. Watch this. Watch this. He says in Exodus, he says, now you're being pursued by the one that I told you to let you go. But because, oh, here, this. Because what had you so bound in all your afflictions, everything you went through, I'm going to make these people bless you on the way out. You ain't just leaving empty-handed. You're leaving with some gold and some jewelry. Jewelry. You don't go out there with those big old shrimp earrings. Y'all know y'all still wear them. I know it. I know it. Walk out with those shrimp earrings like that. You say, God don't bless me. He don't bless me so good. He didn't give me just one pair. He gave me more. He made those people, the ones that were controlling them and tasks over them. He says, you know what? When I let you go, I'm going to make your enemies bless you. I'm going to make those people that laughed about you bless you. I'm going to make those people that talked about you bless you. I'm going to make those people that labeled you bless you. I'm going to make them bless you so much. It's going to take you 3 days before you even get out of their house. Because you're going to plunder them, is what it says. The Bible says plunder. What does that mean? You're not asking, they're giving. I hope you heard that. You're not asking for the good. They're just giving it to you. So much. They're going to give you so much that you're walking around carrying this thing. Stop giving. You've given me too much. And God says, it's not for you. It's for others. What I'm blessing you with is so that you can establish on the outside a place of worship, so that what you've been going through on the inside, I will take you out there so you can establish worship. Woo! Woo! Preach myself happy, Lionel. Shoot, get my own damn. I'm coming out of some stuff. I'm coming out. I have some stuff deep down inside of me, but I'm coming out. People can talk about me because every time they curse me, I'm actually getting blessed. Talk about me some more. I'm getting blessed. Oh, yeah, you want to lie about me? Oh, I'm getting blessed. I get to the point, every time you want to put your mouth on me, God. You ain't got to tell me that I don't know. You don't know what I know. Because it's in my knower that knows. I've been waiting a long time. I done found who my helper is on the inside. Because in my brokenness, my God, in my brokenness, my identity came in. Woo-wee. Got to do aerobics, sucker. So watch this, watch this. Are you winded? Guess what he uses to deliver the people? The wind. The Bible says in Exodus, now Pharaoh is chasing them. He gets to the Red Sea. Now he's in the middle. He's in the middle of his enemy chasing him, and he's in the middle facing a dead end. Have you been facing some dead ends in your life? Have you been facing some? There ain't no way on earth I can get through this. God said, don't worry. The Bible says that God sent the wind all night long. Oh. all night? How come he didn't send it during the day? God don't move in your day seasons. He moves in your night seasons. He moves when you can't see nothing happening on your behalf. When you think that you can't even feel your way out of this thing, he moves at night. The Bible says that they heard the wind all night long being blown. The wind is blowing because you're winded. It's blowing all night long. Can you imagine the Israelites? They were right there between a rock and a hard place. Nothing was changing. It was getting worse. It didn't seem like help was coming. It seemed like I was getting deeper and deeper into trouble. But God says, just sit there and wait. Because tonight I am winded for you. I'm blowing on your behalf. And the wind comes and it separates the waters. Watch this. Then he says to Moses, go through the water. So Moses lifted up the rod that was in his hand. What God gives you in one season to be something to hold you from stumbling in your desert experience is the very thing that he's going to use to get you out of your desert experience, to get you over to a new place. He lifted up his hand, he stretched forth that rod, and the waters began to part overnight. It didn't happen when he lifted it up. It happened after he did it. It began to blow. The wind is blowing on your behalf. And it is separating the waters. The Bible says that they crossed over on dry land. Dry land. I preached this in Kenya. Rocked their world about it being frozen. That it was congealed. So that you wouldn't bring your past into your future. So that you wouldn't bring the steps of your past, the dirt from your past, into your prophetic future. You got to let it all go. He says, I wipe it all. I get it all out of there. I bring deliverance to you. I deliver my people. The word I sent for you is for you. But the people that are pursuing after you, that word wasn't for them. So when you walk through, my word is performed. The word that wasn't for them is about to eat them up. What is he saying? That my blessing is established for you. But the ones that don't believe, it's not there for them. It's there for you to walk in your deliverance. And as you walk in your deliverance, they'll begin to see. That's your God. That's your I am. What I love about God, he taunted the gods of Egypt on every single plague. Every single plague was one of their gods in Egypt. Oh, your frog ain't going to save you now, is it? Matter of fact, your frog is the one thing that is bringing so much pestilence in your life. Oh, these flies? Oh, yeah, you have the Lord of the flies. I'm the Lord of all things. Then he takes them to the ocean, the Red Sea. Why the Red Sea? Because their God was the God of the waters. He says, your God don't control that. Watch what I do. Watch what I do. I'm the creator of the heavens and the earth. I'm the creator of the mountains and the valleys. I'm the one that created the seas. I'm the one that parted the seas. I'm the one that creates. It is my wind that I ride on in the wings of the eagle. It is my wind that is blowing on your behalf. There's nothing that can stop you from getting to where you need to go but you. Because if you don't get into that place where God has ordained for you to be, you won't be in position to receive what I have for you. You may be out of position and miss what God has for you. This is a prophetic declaration that not everybody is going to experience the awakening and revival that is already taking place here in America. We're more worried about what is going to come than actually what's already here. Christ is moving. by His Spirit, through His Word, through revelation, and through demonstration. Christ is already done. When He hung on the cross, He said, "It is finished." The heavens opened. They never closed again. We're saying, "Oh, we need certain things to come in order before we can have revival." No. You have revival when you get into position. When you're in position, the wind starts blowing on your behalf. See, it is the wind of God that brings about healing. It changes your circumstance. It addresses the things of your soul. It addresses the way of your mind. And it brings change. But you won't experience it unless you get in the house. Did the wind start blowing while they were in the house? Not in Exodus. Oh, but after the glorious Lord went to go be with the Father, He sent a promise. The wind started blowing in the house. In the house. Where does revival start? In the house. Would you put your hands right here on your chest? It starts with me. It starts with me. Revival starts with me. Healing starts with me. Deliverance starts with me. I am who I am because what Christ says that I am. Your deliverance is now. Your healing is now. Whatever you've been going through, it's time now. I want you right now, if you were standing here, sitting here, you've been contemplating this, is it your time? If you're suffering some things, ailments in your body, illnesses, I want you to come to the front so that I can anoint you with oil and pray and believe God for your healing. Come on.